We're in the second week of an almost year-long journey through the Bible, and I'm calling the first part of this series an unfolding story. God's story is an unfolding story of which we are a part, and it begins in Genesis. Now, last week we studied the first chapter of Genesis, which is where we read about the story of creation. But apparently, one creation story, it wasn't enough. There's a second one, and that's found in the second chapter of Genesis, which is where we turn today. Now, I should note that the stories that we find in the Bible and the ones that we find in Genesis are powerful because they teach us lessons about ourselves, you know, who we are, why we're here, and so forth. They also help us grow closer to God. And this story, the second story of creation, is no exception. And this story is not a repeat of the first story either. It provides some new perspectives on what it means to be human. And it especially gets us thinking about the freedom that we have. The freedom that we have in choosing how we live our lives. So with that said, let's look at our scripture passage. I'll be reading verses 4 through 9 and then 15 through 25 of chapter 2. And the words will be on the screen. Let's listen now to this scripture. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth, and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Put yourself in this situation. You've misplaced your keys and you've looked high and low for them, but you just can't find them. You know they're somewhere in your house, you just can't seem to spot them. They're hidden from your view. So what do? You ask your spouse or your roommate or your kids or one of your parents to help you look because you know that two sets of eyes are better than one. And two is better than one, right? You know, God gave us two eyes, and two ears to help us see and hear better. And we know that two heads are better than one because it helps us solve problems and it adds wisdom and insight into whatever it is that we're dealing with. The same is true with the stories found in the Bible. Now, the Bible isn't like a novel with a neat and tidy story with lots of chapters, but it's rather a library of 66 books told from many different perspectives that reveal different things about God. And all these stories challenge us to see life and to see God from different angles. And that adds to our faith. It builds wisdom. Now, this explains why we have two testaments or two different sections of the Bible. We also have four gospels that tell the story of Jesus' life. And Jesus used dozens of parables to illustrate his message. And as I have already mentioned, we have two different creation stories in the first two chapters of Genesis that help us know more of who we are and why we're here. Now, in the first story found in chapter 1, we learn that we are part of creation. We're part of a process that brought into existence day and night, the sun and the moon, lakes and rivers, apples and peanuts, animals and people. And God looked at all that He created and said that it was good. Now, two important truths about being human are revealed in this first story of creation. The first truth is that we are good. Goodness is inherent in who we were created to be, and our Creator celebrates this. The second truth is that we bear the image of God. Now, boys and girls, men and women, the rich and the poor, and people of all races and nationalities bear God's image. There are no exclusions to this. Genesis says that all people are made in the image of God. But what is the image of God? Now, we know that an image is a reflection. So to bear the image of God means that we reflect God. But exactly how do we do this? How do we reflect God? Well, first off, we learned a few things about God in the first chapter of Genesis. We learned that the Lord experiences life through relationships. The Lord enjoys His creation. And that God takes care of the earth. And so, we reflect God when we develop and experience life through our own relationships. We reflect God when we take time to enjoy this creation and even name the things around us like we do with our pets. And we reflect God when we take care of the earth. These are all ways that we reflect God's image. And remember, every person bears this image. Now, I think this would have been a surprising message to hear in ancient times because back then, kings and powerful men were the ones who were seen as the image bearers of God. And in some cultures, kings were thought of as gods. But in Genesis, we find a different story. We find a simple man and woman living in a garden with no pyramids or palaces or even clothing. And they're considered the image bearers of God. And the message here that's being communicated is that all people have value. Now, many centuries later, Jesus shared a similar thought. He spoke of how God loves every bird and every flower, and then he pointed out that every person is even more precious to God, no matter how small or insignificant they may feel. Every person is of great value to God, and every person bears God's image. which is one of the essential truths that we learn from the first story of creation. The second story of creation, which I just read a few moments ago, helps us see another dimension to our identity. So while goodness is inherent in who we were created to be, the second story tells us about the possibility of the not good. We learn that there are two special trees found in the Garden of Eden. One is the tree of life, and people are free to eat from that tree. And who wouldn't want to eat from it? After all, it gives health, strength, growth, and fruitfulness. It guarantees life. The other tree is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And there are many different ways to interpret what this tree symbolizes. But one that I'll share with you is that some scholars have suggested that this tree represents the desire to play God. See, eating from this tree would give a person the knowledge to judge the different parts of creation as either good or evil. But let's remember that God has already judged His creation, and He saw that everything that He looked at was good. Everything that He made was good. And so the subtle message that the Bible conveys here is that there's danger in being able to judge. Now we know from Scripture that God's judgments are always wise, fair, merciful, and even restorative. But that's not the case for us human beings. We don't always make good judgments. And we don't make good judgments because of ignorance or bias or even a desire for retaliation. And so for that reason, judging belongs to God, not us. The prohibition of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is simply to remind people to not play God. When we play God by eating from this tree, we start naming different things in creation as some that are good and some as evil. And before long, we become hateful, destructive, and even violent towards the things that we've called evil, the things that we don't like. And then those hateful, destructive, and violent ways become a part of who we are. This is dangerous. This is dangerous because it causes us to reflect less and less of the image of God. So this second story of creation helps us see that the real challenge that we face in life, and it boils down to the choices we make. Really is the choice of, do we eat from the tree of life and see the goodness of creation and thus reflect the image of God, or do we eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and thus play God by judging and misjudging the different parts of creation, which leads us to reflect less of God's image. Now, it seems to me that most of the choices we face in life really boil down to this. Are we choosing to reflect God's image or not? See, God has given us the freedom to make choices. Every day, we have the freedom to choose how we will spend our lives. And bearing God's image really is a choice that we make. I want you to think about this in practical terms. You know, we can choose to use our intelligence to be creative and generous like God, or we can choose to be selfish and destructive. We can choose to use our physical strength to be creative and generous like God, or we can choose to be selfish and destructive. We can choose to use our work, our money, our time, and other assets to be creative and generous like God, or we can choose to be selfish and destructive. God gives us the freedom to choose. It's the way creation has been designed. And the choices that we make can either help us reflect God's image or not. Now, this is a huge responsibility, and I think we need help with it. In the Garden of Eden, God realized that the first man would not be able to thrive and bear this responsibility all by himself. So the Lord decided to make him a helper as his partner, as it says in verse 18. Now, God first created animals and birds, but none of those creatures was a suitable helper and partner. So God then caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. He removed one of the man's ribs and formed a woman to be his helper and his partner. When the man wakes up, he said in verse 23, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Now the man and the woman had been made equally in the image of God. And the term helper that's used in this scripture is no way intended to communicate subservience. See, the Hebrew word for helper is azir, and it's most often used to describe God as a helper to human beings. This kind of helper is strong and works to rescue people. So when this woman was created to be a helper and partner to the first man, she was not made to be a second-class citizen. It's really the opposite. She was made as a strong partner who would, in a sense, rescue the man from his loneliness. So one of the lessons that we draw from this is that God has created us for community so that we can help and support one another. The church is designed as a community for this purpose. We're designed to help each other face the challenges that come to us in life. And we can help one another shoulder the responsibility of bearing God's image as we wrestle with life choices that will inevitably spring up in our daily living. In Christian community, we should be strong partners, helping and encouraging each other to reflect God's image. And we do this in a variety of ways. We do this by offering a listening ear when someone is working through a decision. We do this by offering wise counsel when we're asked for advice. We do this by encouraging one another to be creative and generous instead of selfish and destructive. We do this by working with each other and by working with whomever wants to do good, whomever is striving to do good works. Now, I firmly believe we are at our strongest when we work together. We are strong partners when we help one another shoulder the responsibility of bearing God's image. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, a parable that we all probably know by heart, a Jewish man was attacked by robbers who stripped him and beat him. A Jewish priest saw this beaten up man, but he passed by on the other side. Then a Levite also saw him, but he too walked around. But when a Samaritan came across this injured man, he was moved with pity, even though the injured man was not of the same faith or nationality as himself. Now the Samaritan bandaged the man's wounds, brought him to an inn, cared for him, and then paid the innkeeper to continue with the care. The Jewish leaders who heard Jesus tell this story admitted that the Samaritan acted like a true neighbor and helper. He made the choice to help instead of walking away. He reflected the image of God. Jesus then told those Jewish leaders that they should go and do likewise. Jesus wants us to reflect the image of God. And when we bear God's image, we experience more deeply what it means to be alive. I want you to look at your hands. Look at them. How will you use your hands this week? You know, you can turn your hands into fists and act violently, or you can open your hands and extend grace and peace to other people. You can use your hands to wield a weapon, or you can use your hands to play an instrument or build something exciting. You know, you can use your hands to destroy things, or you can use your hands to build things up. You can use your hands to eat from the tree of life, or you can use your hands to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The choice is yours. And the choice you make will determine the degree to which you reflect the image of God. I pray that we will choose wisely. I pray that our choices will reflect God's image. I pray that we will join in God's work and therefore reflect God's image in all that we do. But the choice is yours. Would you pray with me? Oh God, it is a great gift and privilege, as well as responsibility, to bear your image. Help us to be faithful in reflecting your goodness to the world around us. Help us make wise choices. Help us to act in ways that are consistent with your ways, so that we might fulfill your purpose for our lives and experience more deeply what it means to be alive. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.